But wells don't come without first begging to see the wells. Wells don't come without first splitting open hard earth, cracking back the lids. There's no seeing God face to face without first the ripping. Ann Voskamp, 1,000 Gifts. Christian has undergone so many surgeries that we have operation traditions. Surgery is frightening, especially to a small child who can't see what causes the strange noises and sensations. It is always our mission to impress upon Christian that he's a superhero for being brave. He's going to be okay. He's super Christian. Tradition number one. On surgery days, he gets to wear his special Superman cape while Chris and I, along with our friends and family, wear our Team Christian shirts. In solidarity, we face the worrisome hours ahead. Our second tradition revolves around ribbons. My routine during the surgeries is always the same. I sit in the standard uncomfortable chair, stare off into the distance, and absentmindedly rub my fingers over the fabric heap in my lap. This bundle is Christian's prayer ribbon, a collection of cloth sent to us by friends, family, and Facebook followers. Before his surgery, I log into our official Facebook page and request people to pray over our little boy, for the surgeons to be rested and alert, for their hands to repair my baby, and for God's healing mercy. In addition, I invite the community to send in 6 to 12 inch pieces of ribbon with a prayer written on it. We link them together into a chain. We bring it to every single surgery as a tangible reminder of the prayers being offered to God on our behalf. The cool thing about the prayer ribbon is the creativity. One of my friends sewed fringe, bells, and bows onto the strip. Other people have used buttons or puff paint, and one person sent in a furry ribbon. Before Christian is taken back to the pre-operating area, we cuddle him and run his fingers over the material. We tell him about the people praying for him, that he is loved and special. He's super Christian, and our God is a super Father who will keep him safe. After the nurses take Christian from us, I clutch the ribbon pile and reread the Sharpie prayers and verses. The ribbons soak up my tears while I ask God to bless the beautiful people who are praying for our boy. Surgery number one. Surgery smells like Germex and fear. My faith stretched with every surgery because I was forced to let go. What happens is beyond my control, so I have to trust God with my child simply because there is no other choice. The first obstacle Christian faced was how to eat. The cleft defect was so large that he couldn't even drink from a specially created bottle. As I mentioned previously, feeding specialists decided the best course of action was to insert a nasogastric tube. They snaked the slender tube up his nose, down his throat, and into his stomach to feed him. Poor Christian must have felt like he was gagging all the time because they couldn't stop him from pulling it out. The first surgery was relatively simple. Replace the NG tube with a gastrostomy tube, or G-tube. We weren't happy to have him go under anesthesia, but we were thankful for the G-tube solution, which would allow us to feed him through a much smaller tube directly into his stomach. The whirlwind of the first few days after Christian's birth had taken a toll on us. The doctors explained what they were going to do, and we nodded numbly. Sign the papers. Sign our life away. It was only because of our desperation for him to be able to eat without being miserable that we made it through. On February 22, 2011, we were escorted to the holding room before surgery. Christian was still in his incubator crib, the plastic walls a physical barrier between my precious little one and me. I wasn't allowed to hold him, but I could touch his tiny hand. The nurses needed to sterilize him before surgery, so they'd removed everything but the warm blankets.